The economy continues to be top of mind for many Canadians, especially after yesterday's Bank of Canada interest rate hike, putting interest rates up to 2%, 2.5% rather. So what does that mean for you? And, you know, has the dust settled a bit, at least for now? Moshe Lander is a senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University, and he joins us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Moshe.
Hello.
And thanks so much for your time this morning. Just, we're seeing this. We were kind of all waiting for this big interest rate hike yesterday. It finally happened. Are we in the clear for a bit, so to speak?
We are until the next meeting of the Bank of Canada. So at least for the next 6 weeks, we don't have to worry about interest rate hikes, but I don't think they're done. So they have a few more meetings left this year, and I think that at least two of them are going to see more interest rate increases.
And we talked about how this was kind of the biggest hike since 1998. Just any more kind of increases to the interest rate hikes? What kind of potential outcomes are you seeing when it comes to the market and other kind of reactions?
So I think the market knows that more are coming. If I had to put my money on something, I'd say that by the time the year is done, we'll see maybe an extra percentage point added. It's probably going to come in smaller increments. It's not going to be the supersized one that we saw yesterday. If markets are anticipating the same sort of thing, they'd be pricing that in now. So when it actually happens, they'll probably shrug it off because they anticipated it. It's only like yesterday where the market was expecting 0.75 percentage point and they got the full percentage point. That extra little bit of unexpected hike is the thing that causes markets to shudder.
And then things, talking about lenders specifically, seeing yesterday that Royal Bank and TD both raised their prime lending rates from 3.7 to 4.7. Other major lenders expected to follow suit in short order. Do you think that this is going to kind of cool down at least the housing market on that front with interest rates rising?
It better. That's part of what's behind these interest rate hikes. And the Bank of Canada has been pretty clear that they're concerned about an overheating housing market. So if it doesn't have the desired effect, then there's always more interest rate hikes to come, right? And so it will eventually do what it's supposed to. It's just a matter of interest rate increases usually take time anyway, even though the banks move to increase that prime rate. The fact is that if you already own a home, you already own a home. It's not like you're putting it up for sale today. You're not calling a real estate agent today. So the Bank of Canada needs to give a little bit of space for these things to work their way through the economy. But using their forecasting models, they'll say, yeah, we're seeing the initial effects starting to work. We can lay off a little bit.
And you know, we've seen inflation has been happening around the world. It's an issue that, you know, every country is dealing with right now. But I was interested to see yesterday where the U.S. released its inflation numbers just over 9%, which is incredible. But also, you know, it's not to say that it hasn't been bad here, but it's not as bad as that at this point. Is there something to be said for the U.S.'s economic situation and how much of an impact that could have here, even though we are well positioned in the G7?
Well, it's our major trade partner. And, you know, the old joke is that the U.S. sneezes and Canada catches a cold, right? So we're not immune to what's going on in their economy. And fine, we might be in a better starting point, but it does spill over. We import a tremendous amount of goods from them. And if they're seeing that price pressure on their prices, it can't help but spill over into the way that we see things, especially on imported goods from the U.S. So I don't know necessarily that we're going to see 9% when the next numbers come out, but would a top 8% wouldn't surprise me.
And I guess I think we've talked about before, you know, there's the moves that the central bank is making to try to cool down inflation just in terms of other levers at play here. Is there really anything else governments or the central banks can do to try to cool down this inflation that's clearly, you know, a problem for consumers?
So the central bank's main lever is that overnight rate that they adjusted yesterday. They meet, you know, every 6 weeks, give or take, eight times a year, and they make decisions about what to do with that key lever. The government does have some control over the story as well, and that could be done through spending less and, hate to say it, taxing more. I'm not sure that that's going to go down particularly well with Canadians, and I'm not sure that it's going to go down well given the political arrangement that we have in Ottawa right now, where the Liberals are being propped up by a party whose fundamental purpose is to spend, spend, spend. So if the government were to come and say that our response is going to be to spend less, while it does take some of the inflationary pressure out of the economy, it's not going to be well received by the NDP. So I doubt that there's going to be much that they can do.
And just in terms of even the public, you know, talk about politically, but just even the public, do you think there's a, you know, an appetite right now for an increase in taxes kind of anywhere on the board?
No, and that's exactly it, right? Even though from like a textbook sort of approach to dealing with inflation, that is the correct thing to do, it resonates with a thud. In fact, Canadians seem to be suggesting that what they want is more government spending to help them with inflation, not realizing that that's an own goal. All you're going to do by getting the government to spend more is actually create more inflationary pressure. So it's a little bit self-defeating if that's actually what they do. And I think that's a little bit why the government's remained quiet during a lot of this outcry for help, because they know that if they offer the help, it's counterproductive. And if they do nothing, they're seen as insensitive, out of touch, elitist, or whatever adjectives are usually thrown their way.
Yeah, and I guess, is there a winning, I guess, for any government right now, you know, be it, you know, municipal, provincial, federal level when trying to deal with inflation? Because, you know, there's not a lot of tools they have at their disposal to try to fix and to help people dealing with this. But then also, you know, people are angry. There's a political fallout as well.
Yeah. And you know, the inflation's coming from two sides, right? Usually it comes from the demand side. And so interest rate hikes are really good at trying to curb out of control spending, whether that's private sector, public sector, or households. But we also see inflationary pressure coming from things like Russia's adventurism in Ukraine, or from supply chain issues, or from a yet another wave of COVID. You were talking about airport checks and things like that being reintroduced. No amount of interest rate increases are going to be able to fix that. That's not going to stop Russia from invading in Ukraine, and that's not going to stop waves of COVID. So even the Bank of Canada is going to find that at some point they brush up against a natural limit, that they're not going to find that their interest rate hikes are any more effective.
And just, I guess, more towards, I guess, consumer debt right now, just we're seeing with the interest rates rising, do you think we're going to see more, I guess, household debt defaults and bankruptcies and things like that as people kind of struggle to make ends meet and find priorities here?
It's possible. You know, it depends on where that debt is coming from. I know that the big concern that people are expressing is over their home, but actually increased interest rates are not going to push people into bankruptcy in relation to their home, because most people have a fixed mortgage payment. Even if you have a variable rate mortgage, your mortgage payment itself is not changing. It's just the amount of that payment that's used to pay down the mortgage is shrinking, and the amount that's used to pay interest is going up. It just means that your mortgage is going to take longer to pay off. But if you have a huge amount of student loans, car loans, lines of credit, credit card debt itself, these are the types of things that could start posing a problem, especially when our incomes aren't keeping pace with inflation. So as our disposable income is being dragged in every direction, if now also that's being dragged in the direction of having to pay bigger interest, it could increase bankruptcies. But I don't know that we should create hysteria that, you know, we're going to see huge numbers of defaults and things like that. But yeah, at the margin, it's going to start to really eat at people starting next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can just agree, you know, household debt, consumer debt continues to be a problem for many households. But we'll leave it there. Moshe, thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Moshe Lehner, economics lecturer at Concordia University. Talk about the Bank of Canada's interest rate hike yesterday. A little bit higher than many were anticipating, but as Moshe said, these have been anticipated for the year. There's been four rate hikes at this point. There's more coming by the end of the year. Bank of Canada has been clearly signaling that since the start of this year. So just seeing how that affects regular Canadians, and it's been difficult for those with household debt. They're kind of watching over their back now, seeing how that's going to affect, as you know, Moshe mentioned, student loans.